This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, pan for linguistic gold. Coming up in today's show are revelations that will shatter the belief you had in the one thing you thought you could trust in this chaotic world. To warm up, here's some word history. Poodle. Jaunty word for a jaunty kind of dog, and because poodles are water dogs, their name came from the German word Pudel, meaning splash. It shares a root with puddle. Bonus dog etymology, basset hounds and the word base share the same linguistic root, which is the Latin bassus, meaning low. Because basset hound is low, right? To the ground, not morally. On with the show, and a couple of weeks ago, I received an email from listener Ellie Williams, which basically said, "Hey Helen, you know all those dictionaries you love and revere so much? Well, they're riddled with lies." Admittedly, she put it in much more polite terms, but she did say she's finishing a doctorate covering fake words that are deliberately listed in dictionaries. Shocked and intrigued, I had to find out more from Ellie, just as soon as I'd regained consciousness and got up off the floor.
I'm exactly the same. You kind of approach a dictionary, not even tentatively. If it's in the dictionary, it is true, and that truth is pretty much immobile in between editions. Dictionaries kind of take on this weird, almost priest-like role on a bookshelf, and then to have that usurped. You kind of want them to be immutable, really, otherwise what's the point? But the idea of a word actually being looked up and either it being false, the definition, or for the word itself not to exist in reality at all, is what got me interested into this, this kind of the idea of the deceit behind it. And also the idea, therefore, of a lexicographer lying.
Do you think it was very hard for them to lie, given that usually they have to concentrate on presenting the truth in as objective a way as possible?
Yeah, well, it's that subjectivity that, I mean, is the most kind of interesting and enjoyable, looking at these false words. And what I really enjoy about the false words is that often you don't know who it was that made this up. You don't know what was the purpose for its creation.
These hoax terms are now known as Mount Weasels, after probably the most famous hoax term, Lillian Virginia Mount Weasel, a made-up person who appeared in the 1975 edition of the New Columbia Encyclopedia.
On the same page as Mount Rushmore and Mussorgsky, so, you know, in good company. The entry is Mount Weasel, Lillian Virginia, 1942-73.
Oh, so short life.
Wait for it. It's a tragic short life, peppered with intrigue. An American photographer born in Bangs, Ohio, bit of foreshadowing there, turning from fountain-designed photography in 1963, Mount Weasel produced her celebrated portraits of the South Sierra Miwok in 1964. She was awarded government grants to make a series of photo essays of unusual subject matter, including New York City buses, the cemeteries of Paris, and rural American mailboxes. The last group was exhibited extensively abroad and published as Flags Up in 1972. Mount Weasel died at 31 in an explosion while on assignment for Combustibles magazine. Shed a tear. But someone here has had such fun, first of all, just, you know, making nonsense up, really. But the idea of something being published called Flags Up, as in flagging something up, the idea of this person working for Combustibles magazine and dying in an explosion, having been born in Bangs, Ohio. I mean, someone here has put idle thought, but thought, into creating this little falsehood, this kind of interesting character, but crucially, someone who's not too interesting. So you couldn't be flicking through this dictionary in order to find Mount Weasel, because she doesn't exist. Nor would you really want it to necessarily be too obvious that it's fake. Because often these words are included in dictionaries as copyright traps. So say you, Helen Zaltzman, you are writing a dictionary and I'm writing a dictionary. It would be quite easy for me just to look at what you've come up with, and with a little bit of twiddling and finding some synonyms and definitions, mine would be very similar to yours. If, however, you'd inserted a false entry into your dictionary and you saw that it occurred in mine, it would be quite clear that I had just, you know, made off of your copy. So dictionaries contain these false words as little snares, almost, to catch potential piracy out.
But some people were determined to catch the traps before the traps caught them.
2005 in the New Oxford American Dictionary, an investigator asked whether there were any of these mount weasels. And the response came back that there was one, and it was in the E section. So the investigator kind of whittled down a list of five potential candidates of which words he thought or she thought might be the potential false words. And they included earth loop, that's two words, which is a noun, electrical British term for a ground loop.
Plausible.
Plausible, you think so. Okay, so the second one is EGD, their initials, which is a technology or system that integrates a computer display with a pair of eyeglasses, abbreviation of eyeglass display.
And now there's Google Glass.
Well, the future is here.
Yeah.
Is it fake? There's an electrofish, which is a verb, ELSS, esquivalence, and Eurocreep is the final one. So this is the kind of shortlist of potential falsehoods. And this was sent off to a number of lexicographers and editors and linguistic experts in order to kind of sound out or flush out which was this fake word that was there. And most of them agreed on which one was fake. And it turns out that it was esquivalence. And the definition for that word, noun, is the willful avoidance of one's official responsibilities, late 19th century, perhaps from the French esquive, my French is not great, to dodge or slink away. And again, it's fitting, right? The idea of dodging your responsibilities as a lexicographer by planting this fake word. But this was very much a word set there as a copyright trap. It's interesting because you can track, given that's 2005 and so many the content of so many dictionaries is now online, you can track quite easily whether it has then been copied without understanding that it's fake. So it turned up on dictionary.com as if it was a real word. And it's just, yeah, it's interesting to see how fake words or false words or fictitious entries do disseminate so quickly when you haven't got a kind of editorial probity or you don't necessarily research too well where the facts of the word and its etymology, etc., have come from.
Indeed, etymology, or rather lack of etymology, can be a dead giveaway.
This appeared in a wartime edition of Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary, and it's an entry for a bird. And it's Jungftak, which I'll just spell out, is J-U-N-G-F-T-A-K, a noun, a Persian bird, the male of which had only one wing on the right side and the female only one wing on the left side. Instead of the missing wings, the male had a hook of bone and the female an eyelet of bone, and it was by uniting hook and eye that they were enabled to fly. Each, when alone, had to remain on the ground.
So romantic.
So lovely. Isn't it great?
It's like those broken heart necklaces.
As with the mount weasel, it shows this almost concern for narrative, with the entry and how it's been framed and how the characters are operating within it, as if it was a little short story or almost poetic conceit. It falls down so much as an entry because, as far as I've been able to tell, there's no etymological validity to Jungftak as being Persian. It obviously is ridiculous. It puts me in mind of those cryptozoological hoaxes, actually, where they kind of sew bits of 18 different animals together and then claim it's some underwater alien creature. So it's got the head of a walrus and feet of a penguin and all the rest of it. And it doesn't make any sense and it looks so strange. But if you're looking to fool the right person, it'll pass scrutiny. So yeah, it's a kind of tender portrait of something that really doesn't exist. It has no place in the dictionary. It almost seems kind of at odds with what a dictionary stands for, but so lovely just to be there.
So how many copyright traps are there in the average dictionary?
Well, lexicography, the world of lexicography, that dark, shady underworld, tends to be quite quiet about them, obviously, because otherwise that would then undermine them even being there. So, I mean, the most famous one is probably Mount Weasel. There's a cyclopedia, the Appleton Cyclopedia of 1889, and that has over 200 false entries, it's estimated, which makes you wonder why not just list it as a work of fiction. But they're very subtly incorrect, but intended to be incorrect, and it's posited that that's because the contributors are paid per word.
Oh.
So after a while, they just thought, well, if it's if it's a dollar a word or equivalent, like, just make up another word and shove it in there.
Dictionaries have always been fallible, not just because of human greed, but also egos, filing blunders, and household pests.
The first part of the Oxford English Dictionary, when it was first published, when they were moving around all the different slips of paper that were going to go into the final proofs, the entry for bondmaid just fell down the back of a cabinet and so wasn't included. Just errors like that, and some proofs were found made into a nest for rats, and there was some debate about whether Murray, who was the first editor of the OED, whether they should include an entry on appendicitis, because at the time it wasn't seen as a necessarily relevant word, and it was a bit of too specific and not necessarily useful a word for the dictionary at that time. So it didn't go in. But then in following years, but quite soon after, one of the royal family had appendicitis, and it was appearing in all these newspaper cuttings, and it wasn't in the dictionary, so you did feel a bit like kicking yourself. They just got the timing wrong there.
For lexicographers to consider including a word in a dictionary, there must be several examples of that word appearing in writing. Therefore, presumably, if a hoax word is discovered and then written about enough, it could end up back in the dictionary as a legitimate entry.
I think Escovalience and Mount Weasel, they have entered the lexicon, really, to mean this fictitious entry. They're very quick to almost weed them out, I think, because once the hoax is exposed, it loses its destiny as a trap. Once you've discovered one, do you want to declare that you found it? Because declaring something obsolete, it's kind of taking away from the joy of the reading of it. I don't know. People get very personally attached to particular editions, and I think if one edition seems to be somehow flawed, but is it a flaw? I guess I find it not charming because it is so unscrupulous, but it brings a real character to a dictionary if you know that it's got these little nudges and winks that are there for the right reader, or the reader with too much time on hands.
It shows you the human behind the exercise.
Exactly. And I do, that really is just the wonderful thing about lexicography, these little human details.
Stay vigilant for human mischief in all sorts of different works of reference.
I'm sure you've heard of trap streets on maps, which are those false cartographical streets and rivers, tributaries, and anything on a map basically that's included there for the same reason as these fake words to act as a copyright trap. So if it's replicated in a different map, they'll know that it's been copied, which does mean that you get some poor hikers trying to find a road that's very clearly marked on the map but doesn't actually exist. Grove's Dictionary of Musical Terms, I think that's its title, has a couple of good ones. False composers and the rest of it.
It's everywhere. Can't even trust Grove's.
It's endemic. These Mount Weasels popping up. It's like whack-a-mole.
I think what we've learnt is you cannot trust anything.
Trust nothing. Trust no one.
This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. Many thanks to Ellie Williams for bringing Mount Weasels to my attention, even though it has been emotionally and intellectually devastating. You'll find me on Twitter and Facebook /allusionistshow. There are links to Ellie's website at theallusionist.org/mountweasel, where you can also see a beautiful illustration by Ellie's sister Catherine of the fake bird the Jonkvtak. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is osculum, noun, a large aperture in a sponge through which water is expelled. Or is it, dictionary? I don't know what to believe anymore.